Good morning. Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, the first passage I want to look at. Everything today's been a little bit different. As was mentioned a few moments ago at the table, the projector didn't want to cooperate in the first couple of hours. And here I was going to talk about smart devices and social media, and spent 2 hours thinking I wasn't going to be able to use visuals in talking about this particular subject today. But we've got it working. Even without it working, we've got our Bibles. That's what we need. For those who are visiting with us, it's a little bit different. The study today is going to be a little bit different from this standpoint. I usually try to go very heavy on Scripture and be very sparse with quoting human sources, but that's different today. We've got a few scriptures, but we've got a lot of statistics that I want to share with you. When we started this series on home improvement, one of the things that I did, I've got a group of preacher friends, and we try to bounce things off of each other. You know, iron sharpens iron, and we're there to help each other. And I said, I'm thinking about doing a series on the home and family. I've rounded up the usual suspects as far as topics go, but can you think of anything else? And I had two friends suggest this particular study. And I thought, all right, if two of you thought it, then maybe there's something to it. And the last few months, actually, I've been doing some studying on the side. And I want to bring some of those thoughts as we study together. We're talking about the home, and the family. And today we're going to talk about the impact that smart devices and social media make on today's home and family. It's something that impacts all of us, whether we're married or not. We're going to talk about something that impacts every one of us. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Christians must live in the time and place in which they exist. I've got to tell you, there are times that Mayberry is very appealing to me. It'd be great to be able to go back and live back then, but no, we live here and we live now. And as a result of that, we get to enjoy the blessings of living during this time, but we also have to face the challenges of this time. There's nothing new under the sun, Ecclesiastes 1 verse 9 says, but each generation seems to bring new challenges that God's people have to navigate. The world is always exerting pressure on us to conform to its standards. Well, in the last 20 years or so, they've got some new tools to try to accomplish that, and that's smart devices and social media. They've made an impact on this world. They're not fads that are here for a little while and then they're going to go away. No, they're here to stay. I imagine most of us have these little devices with us, probably even right now today. And social media, many of us are on social media and we enjoy that. It's a part of our lives. It's not a fad, it's here, and it's here to stay. Smart devices or smartphones are an amazing feat of technology. Think of all the things that we can do with these devices. Well, for one, we can make phone calls with them. And we can send text and we can send emails and communicate. We can share photos and we can share videos. I remember when Isaac was born, 25 years ago, Isaac was born. He was the first male grandchild of my grandfather's. And so that was significant. I remember when he was born, I took one of those little disposable cameras, remember? Disposable cameras and went and took a picture of him in his little bassinet that they had there at the hospital. He was just fresh out of the turnip patch because the tag on it said Baby Boy Rogers. And so I took that picture, rushed to Walgreens, where cutting edge technology, I had a 1 hour photo made. I took that to the post office and had that shipped overnight to my grandparents. And I thought, boy, that is lightning speed. And my grandfather got to see visual evidence that his name's going to go on for another generation. And that was priceless. That was priceless. Today, click, click, boom. Right? It's that simple today. That's how technology has come that far, that quickly. Here we were in junior high and in math class, and we've got to do this long division problem, right? And no, you got to show your work. No, you can't use your calculator because you're not always going to have a calculator with you. Yes, I do. We've got it. I can't get lost. I can always find my way home, right? I just got to plug it in the GPS, and I can find my way to your house. I can find my way back home. We can navigate ourselves anywhere that we want to go. We can shop from our phones. We can take notes on our phones. We can play games on our phones. We can watch social media on our phones. Flashlight, calculator, you name it. I'm just touching the hem of the garment, right? We've got it. It's a part of our lives. It's a very handy part of our lives, and it's something that many of us find essential. You know, one thing that it's interesting, as this world gets smaller and we come into contact with people on the other side of the world, here Howard and I are having Bible studies with preachers in India, and they're living in impoverished conditions, but they've got their smartphones. They're everywhere. Everywhere. Let's talk about social media for just a moment. The word media, the definition of media is the transmission of information from a source to a recipient. Newspapers, that's media. Here you've got information and it's being sent out to recipients. The radio is media. Television is media. Sometimes it's referred to as mass media because the information is going out to the general public. Okay, what is social media? Social media is a little more difficult to pinpoint a definition. And so what I've got up on the board here, on the slide here, is actually a definition that I put together, looking at different sources. Social media could be defined, if you got a better definition, if you want to take the easy route, Facebook. There's a good basic definition of social media. But social media is instantaneous electronic social communication. That is the sharing of personal information where a transfer of information takes place with two or more people. Yeah, I came up with that. Social media is media that has this component. I'm involved in it. Social media is an outlet in which I can be more than just a consumer. I can be a participant. I can write articles and I can submit them to Dayton Daily News. They're going to put them right in file 13. But I can go on Facebook and I can post whatever I want to write. So social media is that information that's getting out there, but the idea behind social is that you and I are personally involved in that. We are personally involved in it, and we're taking part in it personally. And there are a lot of benefits to social media. I'm not standing up here today telling you need to delete all of your profiles and all of your apps? Not at all. There are a lot of benefits to social media. Now, I didn't come up with this list. I found it on social media. But it's a good list. By far, the number one benefit with people who are surveyed is that social media allows you to maintain relationships. We can maintain relationships with friends and loved ones that we're separated from, perhaps even across the globe. It allows us to remain connected with people in a very good way. It allows us to get connected with the people. I have a relationship now with some of my cousins that I knew they existed, but I didn't know them. Now we kind of know each other through social media. It's a way to share photos and videos and other things that we've created. It's a way to build a community or be a part of a community. I use social media for this purpose. Information sharing, accessing news and current events very quickly. Personal branding. We have our profile. We share our thoughts, our experiences, and our opinions. Business opportunities, marketing and promoting products. I use social media for that. Some of you do as well. I've seen it. Networking, learning and education, taking online courses, and of course, entertainment. And leisure. A lot of us use social media for entertainment. So there are a lot of benefits to this technology, and I'm not standing up here and telling you we need to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Not at all. It's here, it's technology. Technology always lies in the realm of moral neutrality. What makes it good is when good people use it for good things. What makes it bad is when bad people misuse it. I want to talk the rest of our time, I want to talk about the negative impact that smart devices and social media can have on our households, on our families, on the relationships that we have with our spouse, and how we are trying to raise our children in a godly way. Marriage and the home are designed by God, and they serve a divine purpose. God didn't leave us to just do with family whatever we want to do with it. There is a divine plan for the proper functioning of the home and the family. I think the most concise passage we have on this is Colossians 3, verses 18 through 21. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. So God has a plan for the home. Now, societal challenges arise in every generation. I remember hearing the old-time preachers talk about when the television made its first appearances in people's homes, going back to the 1950s, and how they saw a decline spiritually in the Lord's church. And they trace it right back to, there's the television. Well, fast forward 70 years, we've got another one of those watershed moments going on. We've got the introduction of smart devices and social media. What kind of an impact is it having on God's people? What kind of an impact is it having on our home? We can look at a lot of different things, and I've studied, I've done some reading, some research. I've narrowed it down to five different categories or five different things. Five ways that these things are having a negative impact on our homes. Number one is the fact that they are addictive. They are addictive. One of the books that I've read, and I enjoyed it a lot. I forget how I came about knowing about this book, but it's called Terms of Service. The subtitle is The Real Cost of Social Media by Chris Martin. And in this little book, he goes into a lot of detail talking about how social media platforms were actually created and what they were designed to do. And he exposes the fact, and it's been brought before Congress. He didn't break the ice on this. He simply saying it again in this format of this book, that it was purposely built to be addictive to the user. Social media platforms have been purposely designed to be addictive to the users. These platforms make money by selling ads. Have you ever noticed that you can join Facebook for free? They don't charge you a dime. They're making money off of you. What they do is they are collecting your information and selling it to advertisers or selling advertising space. That's why here lately on Facebook, have you noticed? Ad. Yeah, that's how they're making their money. But it's not just any kind of ad. It's ads that they think we're going to enjoy looking at. They purposely collect data and try to create algorithms that keep us scrolling. Keep us scrolling. The last thing that they want us to do is turn it off. As long as we're on there, as long as we're scrolling, then they can charge the advertisers that much more. You know, scientists get rats to keep running through a maze by giving them rewards. Social media does the same thing to us. Every time something that we have posted gets a like, we get a charge out of that. Or whenever someone comments on something that we put up there, hey, somebody read that. Somebody cared enough to comment about that. They shared that. Some of us even have it set up so that we get notifications on our phone when someone has liked something that we've posted. And what that does, that releases just a little bit of that dopamine in our system. It's a charge. That's exciting. There's a term, the last thing on this slide, social validation feedback loop. And that's a term that he's put in his book. But the idea is that the more content that we post, the more likes we're going to get, the more that's going to satisfy us, so we're going to post more content and get more likes, and get more excitement, and post more content. And we're in a loop. We're in a loop. And it's designed to be addictive. Now, the problem with that, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul says that we are not to be under the power of anything. That could be alcohol, that could be nicotine, that could be social media. It doesn't matter. If it's addictive, you and I need to be aware of that. Here's something else. I haven't heard this phrase in a few years, but FOMO, fear of missing out. This was added to the Oxford English Dictionary in 2013. It's a real thing. Has been for quite a while now. Social media provides instant content. And when it feels like everyone else is on social media, we feel like we can't log off, or we're going to miss something important. The currency of social media is attention. The more attention that you can get, the more followers you have, the more people that you have liking and commenting on your post, the higher your stock rises in the social media world. It is the amusement park for the narcissist. The person that loves to have everything about them and loves to have everybody talking about them, they love social media. And you can tell who those people are. It's not very hard. They keep showing up in your feed because they know how to work it. They know how to keep putting themselves out there so they can continue to be validated as a person. Well, if you get off social media, you become invisible to that world. You're nothing. And so, yes, it's very addictive. It's very addictive within the way our brain works. It's very addictive to the person that has a problem with pride or a problem with self-worth. Or at least that's the way it's designed. Does reality bear that out? 96% of teenagers report using the internet daily. Nearly half of these, 46%, say that they are online almost constantly. That may sound like an exaggeration to you, but that's through smartphones, that's through a laptop, that's through a tablet, that's through a gaming console. And it's really not that hard to believe. How many times have we been out anywhere and you've seen young people on their phones? Don't you love it when you go to the checkout line at the store and there's a young teenager working there at the checkout line and they see you coming, they got to put away their phone, they got to check you out. And you know more than get the receipt out of their hand, and they've got it out again. They're going at it again. Yeah, 46% say that they're online almost constantly. 44% of teens say that they feel anxious without their phones. You don't think they're addictive? Try taking their phone away from them. You're going to have some issues. You're going to have some problems. So yes, those teenagers and their phones and social media, well, it's just as bad for adults. Statistics show across the board, on average, people spend 5 hours a day on their smartphones. 5 hours a day. Remember that it was 46% of teens that said that they were online almost constantly, 46%. 47% of their parents say that they are online too long, that they are online, that they are on social media, that they are on their devices way too much. Nearly half of teenagers, 46%, say that their parent is at least sometimes distracted by their phone when they're trying to talk to them. Now, there's a problem there. When children can't talk to their parents because their parents won't put down their phone, there's a problem there. Half of the teenagers say that's a problem in their house. 1 in 3 parents admit to using portable technology while they're dining out with the family. One study found that half of parents use their phone while driving with their children in their vehicle. Yeah, it's an issue. What's a challenge here? These things are addictive. They're designed to be addictive. Are they addictive to everyone? No. But they're designed to be addictive. We need to know that going in. I would recommend this book, Terms of Service, if you're interested in looking into this and learning about how these platforms have been designed to get our attention and to make us the way that they make money. They make money off of us. Zuckerberg and all these people, they've made their money off of us. Here's something else, another way it impacts the home and the family, is these devices and social media results in decreased face-to-face interaction. Home used to be a place where people could escape the world. When they came home and they shut the doors, the world was outside. They had a break for a while. They could unwind, they could unplug, and they could focus on the family. They could focus on the people in the house. Now, the world follows them. The world's with us all the time. We even get alerts telling us that, hey, you need to check this out. Things are going on. You don't want to miss this. Nurturing the marriage relationship requires time spent together with one another. I know 1 Corinthians 7 verses 2 through 5 is talking about physical intimacy, but the principle applies across the board. The husband and the wife cannot grow stronger together, nurture that relationship while they're each looking at their own screen. No, so it disturbs that. It keeps that marriage bond from becoming stronger. And bringing up children in the training and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6 and at verse 4, requires time and attention. Developing our children's self-esteem and character requires us putting down our devices and connecting with them and spending that quality time with them. Statistics show that toddlers don't learn as well when parents are distracted by their screens. And I almost said lazy parenting, but then I did say it, didn't I? But I don't know every situation, but I find it frustrating whenever you see young parents with very young children and they've given their children tablets to occupy them. In a restaurant, I saw it in the grocery store on Friday night. You see it all the time. Now, I'm not there in those homes, but the children need that one-on-one time. They need that interaction. Parents who allow their phones to interrupt family interactions are more likely to have children with behavioral problems. The behavior of the parents is interpreted by the children as, I'm less important to you than that device that you're holding. I'm not important enough. I don't matter. I don't count. And so we've got young children who've learned the only way they can get any attention from the people that they care about is to make a scene. And that's what they've trained themselves to do, to be disruptive just so they can get attention. Thanks, Mom and Dad. It goes all the way back to them being addicted to their devices. Social media has conditioned us also. We need to talk about this. And when we're talking about the problem of decreased face-to-face interaction as a family unit, social media has conditioned us to preferences that are counterproductive to effective family time. Number one, it has created an entire culture that is used to consuming short bursts of information. Brevity is a must on social media. The shorter it is, the more likely it's going to be read or watched. We can look at the statistics on our website when people log on to listen to sermons, and it shows that there the first few minutes, there's a lot of people, but it drops off very quickly after a couple of minutes. Why? Because we're used to seeing the short little reels. We're used to seeing something short. I've got to be honest with you. When I'm on YouTube and I'm looking through and I see something I'm interested in watching, I might want to watch that. I look and see how long it's going to last. And if it's going to last very long, my interest, nope, that's not going to work for me. And I keep scrolling. So we have conditioned ourselves that we want things that are going to be short. I told Christy this morning, the sermon's going to be long today. Sorry. But I'm going. So there's one thing. We want it to be short. We want it to be short. Secondly, social media allows us to customize our experience online. If we don't like something, click, it's gone. I can end it. I can block it. I can delete it. And it doesn't take very long before Facebook or whatever the platform is figured out, okay, here's what Heath likes. And so we're going to give him what he likes. And so people that I don't agree with, I don't want to listen to that. I don't want to see that. I'm blocking that. And what is that doing? Well, that's allowing me to have a pleasurable experience when I'm online. But it is also counterproductive to having quality time with people that I don't necessarily agree with. Or talking with loved ones about things that are confrontational. Hey, I weeded all that out of my feed. I don't like that. Mom and Dad, I don't want to talk to you about this. See? Or the mindset is also, it hinders. That is, I can customize my experience. I'm only going to watch the things that I want to watch. I'm only going to spend my time doing the things that I enjoy doing. That hinders the self-discipline that is needed for me to give attention and respect to things that I'm not really interested in. And that's sorely lacking among a lot of people today. Not just young people, but a lot of people today. Do we need to hang all that on social media and smart devices? No, but they've played a role in that. And so now we've got a situation where mom and dad need to have a family talk with the children, and the children are like, you know what? I don't want to do this. I'm not interested in this. I don't have to sit here and listen to this. That has an impact on the family. That has an impact on the home. You better believe that it does. And social media plays a role in that. It decreases face-to-face interaction. Third, of course, that's going to lead to conflict. And here's a third way that social media and smart devices impacts the home. Today, families have serious disagreements over social media usage, screen time, privacy concerns, and online behavior. Nothing like getting that email or that text message from a friend that says, hey, you better check out your child's post on social media. Yeah, that's not a fun call to get. It's not, but it's a reality. 4 in 10 parents say that it's hard to manage how much time their teen spends on their phone. 4 in 10 parents and teens report regularly arguing with one another about time spent on their phone. 1 in 10 saying that it's quite often that they argue. 1/2 of parents say they have looked through their teen's phone. That's about as big of a violation of privacy as you can get for a teenager. Well, guess what? Mom and dad have every right to do it. Every right to do it. We could say more on this point. I think it's pretty obvious. There's going to be conflict in the home. There always has been. There's probably always going to be. Social media creates some of those conflicts, adds to some of those conflicts. We need to know about that. Here's something else that we're just now starting to talk about as a society, and that is the impact of social media and smart devices on a person's mental health. This is a subject of ongoing debate, but research suggests that excessive or unhealthy social media use can contribute to various mental health issues, particularly in young people. There are cases of increased anxiety and depression. We're spending excessive time on social media lead to feelings of anxiety, depression, and loneliness. And one of the factors, now I want to bring this out, one of the factors is what is called social comparison. That's a phrase I ran across in doing some of this reading and some of these studying. What is social comparison? Social comparison is when you see someone on social media and you compare yourself to them. And you compare your life to their life. And you see that your marriage isn't quite as nice as their marriage is. And you're not quite in as good a health as they are. And their children are really excelling, and they're very well behaved, and they're living in a nice house. I've seen the pictures in their videos they're posting. I could never have a house like that. And they show that they go to all these places on vacation, and I could never do something like that. And so, yeah, there's depression. Here's the problem. Number one, we're comparing ourselves with other people instead of comparing ourselves with our Lord. That's where the comparison needs to be made. But number two, a lot of what's put online is, quote unquote, curated online lives. You know what that means? That's just a fancy phrase for it ain't real. They're not really living like that. They're not really like you and me. But if we get all caught up, you know what? They're doing all these things and they're involved in all these things. And why am I not doing that? I'm a horrible person. I'm a terrible person. And that has a great impact on a person's mental health. And so we need to realize that we don't need to be comparing ourselves to strangers that we follow on social media. body image issues. They've always been around. It used to be magazine covers, I guess, and television programs, but now it's social media. They promote unrealistic beauty standards, leading to body dissatisfaction, eating disorders, especially among adolescents. Cyberbullying and harassment leads to depression, anxiety, and self-harm. By the way, I don't recall, I didn't write down the numbers, but right now, statistically, young women, teenage girls, far outnumber young men and teenage boys in attempted and successful suicides. It's tragic, regardless. But right now, that's the way that shapes up. And isolation, spending too much time on social media, can reduce face-to-face interactions, leading to feelings of isolation and loneliness. We see a room where there's a lot of people who are sitting in there, very close to each other, close enough to be having a conversation, and every one of them are doing what? They're in their own little world. They're alone. They're not alone. But they're alone. That's one of the consequences here, mental health. So yes, it is having a huge impact on our mental health. And when dad or mom is suffering from mental health problems, or when the children are struggling with mental health issues, it has an incredible impact on the home and the family. You better believe it. And one more thing that I want us to spend some time talking about is the exposure to negative influencers. What is an influencer? Well, people that are connected with social media know what an influencer is. An influencer is the movie star of social media. They are the celebrities of social media. They are the ones that have hundreds of thousands of followers, if not more. They're the ones that so many people tune into and want to listen to and take their cues from. One feature of social media, as I've said, is the ability to customize our experience. And those of us who are mature Christians know that, okay, yeah, we friended that person that we knew from high school, but every other post is about them going out and getting liquored up, and it's profanity laced, and you know what? I'm through with that person. And we can do that, and we even have things to show up on our feed. We can tell the platform, hey, I don't want to see that anymore. And we can do that. Well, it's just a fact of life that young people aren't so good at doing things like that. They aren't so good at weeding out those negative influences. And so we've got scriptures like Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs is Solomon writing to his sons. And right from the very beginning, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. No, you don't go and run with these negative influences in your life. And 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. There was a day and time when parents could very much control who was influencing their children. Who are your friends? I want to know who your friends are. Okay, yes, I know their parents. I know them. All right, yeah, they can come over. And let's meet your friends and meet their parents. All right, yeah, I know who's influencing you. Yeah. Well, that time's long gone. Long gone. Now, if we hand our child a smartphone, happy birthday, I told you had to wait until you're this old. Well, now you're this old, and here you go, and here's your phone. There you go. Well, they're going to open up the social media, and they're going to come into contact with all these different kind of people, and you don't know. You don't know. Handing a smart device to a child without any supervision allows them to invite every fool and moral degenerate in the world into their circle of influence. As one of these books said, if you are a parent, wouldn't you rather engage your child's attention or have a tablet do so. I like that. Here's the problem. We want to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and we want to wait till the right time to talk with them about these things. But in the meantime, we've been letting them get on the tablet to occupy their time because we don't want them in our face all the time. So yeah, you can get online and you can do this, you can do that. But now it's time to talk with my child about this or about that. By the time some parents get around to talking with their children about the biblical view of things like the existence of God, does God really exist? Or the origin of the universe, where did this world come from? Where did you and I come from? Have we been created by God for a divine purpose, or are we just the latest model in the mindless pattern and system of evolution? Are there moral absolutes? Yes, there is a right and there is a wrong. And I want you to know what is right and what is wrong. And what about gender? And what about sexuality? You know what some parents are learning? Is that by the time they go and talk to their children about these things from a biblical point of view, their children have already formed their opinion about these things from the world's point of view. And now we've got children growing up in quote-unquote Christian homes who are becoming atheist or evolutionist, walking away from the church like it doesn't matter, or mom, dad, I need to tell you I'm gay. Where did that come from? This is where it came from. When we are allowing our children unfettered access to social media, anything and everything can come into their minds. This has a negative impact on the home. And if that's the case, I just want to say this. If that's the case, all things being equal, mom and dad, the church didn't let your children down. You let your children down. You let them down. There are other things that we could talk about. You've been very patient. I know I've gone past that 10-minute window that we all program ourselves to like. That doesn't happen up here. There are a lot of other things we could have been discussing. We didn't even talk about pornography. Sextortion, which our young people can fall victim to, online relationships developing into infidelity and adultery, online gambling. Download the app. Gambling has a terrible impact on the home and on the family. All these things are true. I've tried to narrow it down and look at just some of the primary things we need to be aware of. No, smartphones aren't going anywhere. Social media isn't going anywhere. They're both here to stay. And I don't believe they need to be shunned by us as Christians. That may be your choice, and you have a right to have that choice. But there's a lot of good. There's a lot of benefit there. We just need to understand. We need to use, if we choose to do so, we need to use this technology with wisdom and with self-control. One quote I did find that I wanted to share with you I liked. Our use of any technological device should be funneled through the grid of whether the item in question is training us for righteousness or unrighteousness. That's a standard that we need to use. Or, about 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul said it much better. Wrapping up a 3-chapter discussion on our use of liberties, that is, should we do it or should we not do it, the Apostle Paul concluded, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, and with that phrase, today we could insert using smart devices and being on social media, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Do it to the glory of God, and if you can't, then it's not for you right now. I appreciate so much your kind attention as we've taken a look at these matters. If you have any questions about anything we've talked about, we'd be glad to talk with you about that. Parents, you have been given your heritage from the Lord. If you've been blessed with a child, you've been given an incredible privilege and responsibility. And one day you're going to have to give those souls back to the Lord. What shape are they going to be in when you give them back to Him? That's the responsibility that's given to every parent. And so let's take that matter very seriously. If you're subject to the invitation, we're going to offer it at this time. Maybe you need to become a Christian by confessing your faith in Christ, repenting of your sins, and putting on the Lord in baptism, having those sins washed away. Maybe you need to make things right as an erring Christian. Maybe you're overwhelmed and you need our prayers. Whatever your spiritual need is, let it be known by coming forward as we stand and together sing this invitation song.